back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for November 19th, 2007. And in the studio this week we have Gamescom, Jason Gambro.
Hey, hello.
Wow. You always have the best intros every week. I'm jealous of your intros.
I just try to mix it up, man.
He tries to mix it up. Also with us, we have the Wombat, Ryan Wombold.
I'm here, live, in the studio. The studio.
Yeah, we're not taking studio. A break today because, we're not live.
Yeah. We sort of found out way too late that we weren't live.
We're not live? Oh, by Jesus.
So does that mean that I can't take a potty break? Jeez.
No, you can't. You just
gotta
sit there.
Oh, man, I got to hold it.
Or pee in your pants. Man.
Wow, already we got the bathroom humor going on. That's what I love about this podcast. We're what, a minute and a half in?
Not even a minute.
55 seconds in, and we've already got the bathroom joke.
What could you say about that, though? That's why people love us worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. Listeners all across the globe.
Because they don't know any better. That should be our tagline. News for Gamers, podcast radio. It's great, because you don't know any better.
Because you don't know any better. We're going to start off with what's fondling your console this week. And since I always start with Mr. Con, I'm going to start with the Wombat this
Woo-hoo!
Week.
Yeah.
Winner. A winner is me.
A winner is you, and I imagine you've got a lot to talk about.
I do, actually. So I bought Assassin's Creed, and you know what? I don't know what all the crazy-ass 5.5 and 7.1 and all that junk reviewers are talking about. I think it's great. I mean, it's not perfect. Obviously, it's not perfect. I'd give it, I don't know, maybe you'll have to wait for my ZTGameDomain.com review to see what I'll give it.
He almost gave it away right there.
I almost did, but it's definitely not the kind of the AAA title that everybody kind of hoped it would be for all the hype that went into it. There's some problems with it, definitely, but it's a complete blast. It's incredibly innovative. The graphics are great. And
I love the animation.
Yeah, the animation's fantastic.
That's my favorite
especially,
part of the
visuals. Especially on the counter kills. It's just amazing. The camera angles are great. And it's very, very cinematic. And, the scope of it with, the realistic modelings of, ancient cities. It's just, to me, there's so much innovation and so much good stuff in it. I don't see how you could give it as low as a 5.5. Even if you absolutely, completely hated the play mechanics, I don't understand how you could give it a 5.5.
What'd you think of the twist?
My feelings on that are pretty much like everybody else's. I think it was completely unnecessary.
It's a
decent little, it's an interesting idea, but it's completely unnecessary.
It doesn't really enhance it for me. In fact, the parts that involve the twist are like my least favorite parts of the game.
Right.
So I could have done completely without them.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to me. I'm wondering if that's going to change towards the end of the game, but I don't know. So far, I'm just kind of like, I really don't like this.
Yeah,
it kind of annoys me. I like the game, too. I mean, I like the combat. I like the... It's just different.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Nice to be playing something that isn't, a shooter or an RPG. It's just a good old-fashioned kind of action-adventure platformer kind of game.
And is it... Yeah. I mean, it's slightly repetitive, but you know what? It does so... Like, it's slightly repetitive, but there's so much stuff to do that it doesn't bother me.
I even was enjoying running around the buildings and like jumping into the haystacks and looking for flags
and
not necessarily playing the game, but just running around. The horse control is excellent too.
Yeah, it is.
Which surprised me.
Hold on, I have to do this just for RU Joshin. The horse controls are great, especially when you go from playing two worlds. Oh, I had to throw it in there.
What? Fucking Two Worlds gets more PR on this podcast than anything on this planet. I swear to God.
Oh, it's great.
The people that made that game should totally, send you...
They should be paying
they
my
should be
ass.
Paying
That's what I keep
for
waiting
this.
For. I keep waiting for a check from South Peak saying, "Dear Ryan, you're the only person who likes our fucking game. Here's some money." But anyways...
That'd be exactly how it would be worded.
Anyways, so I've been playing Assassin's Creed. And then I bought Mario Galaxies, which I think I'm the only person on the podcast that has it.
Yes, you are currently the only person on the podcast that has Mario Galaxy, and I am the jealous.
It's freaking awesome. I haven't had a chance to play a whole ton of it yet because I've had so much stuff to play this week and so very little time. Because of the goddamn real world. Not the TV show, but the real world.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
But Galaxies is fantastic. It really is a successor to Mario 64. I haven't made up my mind as to whether it's better than 64 yet or not.
Yeah.
That's going to take quite a bit more playtime because I played the shit out of Mario 64. But it's the control is spot on, which I was a little nervous about. Everything's just great. It's very, 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 very good. If you have a Wii, there's no excuse not to buy it because it's not like you're buying anything else.
What are you talking about?
Except maybe Trauma Center because I heard Trauma Center's really good.
There's so many great Wii games out right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like Chicken Shoot. Okay, I'm not even going to make the jokes this week.
Link's crossbow training is coming out.
Oh, yeah, with the zapper.
I'm not even making the jokes this week because I'm so tired of it.
You looked like you were going to say something when I was talking about Galaxies, and I didn't mean to keep rambling, Goody.
I don't know what I was about to say.
Yes. I'm glad I called you out on it then.
Yeah.
Way to make him look stupid. Way to go.
So, play some Galaxies. And then I bought Call of Duty 4, finally, and it's freaking phenomenal.
Have you played online yet?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
All I've played is single player, and the graphics completely blew me away. You know, the nice thing about it is it's got all of the same intensity that all the other Call of Duties had, but, you know, it's in the modern time, which a lot of the modern-day shooters are missing that intensity. So
It still has the kind of the scripted intensity, though.
Right.
And you can pick it out if you've played the other games.
Right. You know, you kind of know when it's coming.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, uh-oh, here comes something.
Right.
I know it's going to happen. Oh, look, these guys are fighting me. I got to push forward.
Wait, there's a pause in the action and people are talking. I have a feeling something's going to explode here in a second. But no, it's still, you know, it's still, even the firefights are pretty intense.
I'm so amazed at the visuals, though.
The only thing I wish is, especially for the first level, the ship level, they really should have instituted some kind of cover system.
Yeah.
Like, it really would have been nice to have...
The Rainbow Six kind
of
cover
system. The Rainbow Six or Gears of War. Ghost Recon cover system would have been nice.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's definitely not something that ruins the
experience. It's another one of those games where you watch your squad mates get in cover, and you're like, how come I can't do that?
How come I can't do that? How come I'm just stuck running straight into this box if I want to hide? But no, so I've been playing that a lot. That's all I'm playing for now. Still waiting on SmackDown to roll in so I can give you my impressions on that.
SmackDown!
And,
oh, yeah!
You want to say
College
the big Hoops one?
2K8.
You want to say the big one for last? We can talk a little bit about that when we roll around.
Yeah, that was my plan. My plan was for us all to talk about, or at least me and you, to talk about Rock Band. Yeah. Oh, well, damn it.
You ruined it. You ruined
actually,
the spoiler.
I played a little bit of it, too.
Did you?
At Best Buy.
We can all talk about it, then. All
right. Very briefly, though, I sucked.
We'll roll around to that in the end, but is that...
Well, other than that, too, the other thing, it's not actually fondling my console, but I sat in on a conference call for College Hoops 2K8, made by 2K Sports, and it sounds like, if you're a college basketball fan at all, it sounds like it's going to be simply amazing.
Well, if it's anything like their NBA games.
Right.
I mean,
right, and it shares an engine with the NBA games. They've tweaked just enough to make it really feel like a college game, though, so I have a feeling that it's going to be really, really good.
Did they ask any of your questions that you sent in?
They did. They asked all of them.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Awesome.
So, but I also got the opportunity to ask another question, too, about connectivity between 2K8 and College Hoops, which it does actually come back this year. You can still draft your players from college into the NBA game if you have both.
I always thought that was a really cool idea if you got that deep into the college and you built your characters up and then you drafted them into the... Like in football, you can do that. I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
And they get this new thing called 2K Share where you can create plays, schools, teams, all that stuff, and then you can actually share them with people over the internet, which is pretty
cool. Awesome. This whole community aspect of games is just getting out of hand, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
So I'll have more updated impressions on that once the game shows up, but so far, just from the conference call, I'm actually really excited about it.
Cool.
So,
does that wrap it up?
That wraps it up for now.
All right, so we'll move on to the con. And did you get your coffin yet?
Yes.
You finally got your coffin.
Yeah, I finally got my my delivery box for my 360, and I sent it out in the middle of the week, and it's in the shop right now.
Okay. Do they give you any estimated time as to when you're going to get it back?
3 to 5 weeks.
Oh, snap. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's that's really sucks. It's going to be like right before Christmas. And the thing is, I'm hoping that I at least get it before Christmas. Because, you know, the holiday, you know, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas back-to-back, you know.
It's a lot of game time to be missing out on.
You know.
Some Mass Effect about to be happening.
You know, the Red Ring happened at, like, the worst time.
Yeah.
It really did, and that really sucks. But I've still been playing a lot of games, man, despite the fact that I'm without the 360. This week I've been playing some demos. I played the demo for Contra 4.
Nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's really hard.
Well, it's Contra. Every Contra, is it that thing always follows the word Contra? Hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It reminds me a lot of Contra 3, which is what everybody says. It's
Alien Wars?
Yeah, it's like the spiritual successor to the Contra 3 Alien Wars for the SNES.
Well, it's good that it's a spiritual successor to Contra 3 because it's
Contra 4.
Yeah.
So I suppose that works out
well. Well, I mean, there's been other Contra games made since then.
I know.
And they were terrible. Yeah. It's called Legacy of War.
Yeah.
Of course, Shattered Soldier gets a bad rap, and I like Shattered
Soldier. Yeah, I like Shattered Soldier.
I like Shattered Soldier. The big throwing up baby.
Oh, first level. That was awesome.
Contra always has the best first level bosses.
Oh,
like,
no.
the first boss that you fight is
Except
always, like,
game.
Super... Super
yeah,
fucking cool.
The first game, you fight a wall.
Right.
You fight a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, Contra 3, you had that big friggin' dinosaur monster thing with the big long neck.
Yeah, that was sweet.
So, anyways.
I wasn't even able to get to the first boss, man.
In Contra 4, really?
It's just, like, completely madness from the get-go.
It's a madhouse. Oh, yeah!
Nice little anthrax in the podcast.
And another demo for the Nintendo DS that I got to play was the Ninja Gaiden DS demo.
Dragon Sword.
Yes. And
what is it with DS games always have to have the DS thing and the
it's
Dragon
kinda like
Sword?
The, it's kind of like the thing. It's how it works.
I know, but it's... Never mind. It's so Nintendo.
When I started playing it, I was kind of like, Ninja Gaiden with all touch controls, you know, this could go really bad, but you know something? It works.
Is it really good?
Well, it's Itagaki, if he's going to make it work, if anybody's going to make it work, it's going to be Itagaki. Yeah.
Dude, it is freaking awesome. It's a must-buy DS game.
I heard it was beautiful, too, for a DS
game. Oh, yeah. The animations are really good. It actually kind of reminded me of, like, the Xbox version, but if you were playing it on, like, a 32-inch screen and you were, like, 60 feet away from the screen. If you were like at
that
Walmart.
Should be on the back of the box. We come up with the best back of the box.
Yes, we
ever.
Do.
It's like playing it on Xbox, but 60 feet away on a 32-inch TV.
Yeah, it's like if you were at Walmart playing it like from a 32-inch TV like halfway across the store.
Nice.
I mean, it's still beautiful. It still animates well, but it's kind of small.
Kind of,
you know,
hard
what I'm
to
saying?
See.
But, yeah, it was really cool in the... And the touch screen, oh man, playing the game with the stylus, you actually like mark slashes against enemies to attack them, and if you tap the enemy, you throw stars at them. And if you hold down any button, he blocks if you hold down any button. So if you're holding it a certain way, like depending on which way you're holding the DS, because you hold the DS similarly to the... what should we call it? The Brain Age games?
Oh, like
a book?
Yeah, you hold it book style. And depending on which way you're holding it, there's going to be a button that's kind of close to, you know, where you can reach and hold it down. And that'll be your block button. Is any button on the controller the block button. And if you hold and block while you slash, like, away either left or right from Ryu, he does the evading, where he evades and like
counterattack.
Where he rolls out of the way.
Yeah, when he does the side roll. So if you're blocking and then you swipe to the left or to the right, he'll be blocking, and then when you swipe, he'll roll to the left or the right, depending on which way you swipe. And I got to fight a boss in the game, too, this giant dragon. And just, like, the first stage, I, like, killed off, like 10 ninjas, and then all of a sudden this big freaking dragon just lands right from, and I'm like, oh, heck no. Jeez.
And no. No ninja guy without no crazy big dragon.
You know they say the dogs are man's best friend? Dragons are a ninja's best friend. Well, so that's where the dragon comes from.
Oh, exactly.
Thing is,
so you move with the D-pad?
You move completely with stylus.
Really?
You drag the stylus, or you can just point to an area and he'll automatically run to that area. So it kind of has a Diablo-esque control. But when you're actually in the heat of battle, it looks like Ninja Gaiden. It's really weird, and it takes about 30 seconds to get used to. But after that, you're just like kicking butt all over the place, and it's really fun.
Nice.
It's definitely a must-buy for an action fan who has a DS.
I was very interested to see how it turned out, because I'm such a big Itagaki fan, and I don't have a DS right now, so I'm like,
It's definitely a really good one, man. I don't know if it's a system seller, but if you got a DS already, there's no excuse to not getting it.
Is it accessible? Can anybody play it, or is it hard like the other Ninja Gaidens?
I found it to be accessible when you're fighting the ninjas, but the dragon was pretty tough. So just the ninjas themselves were actually pretty easy to get rid of. So it's pretty cool. So I'm assuming that it kind of straddles the line between the truly hardcore action player and the casual player. I think it kind of straddles the line, because considering that it's the DS system, Ikigaki probably kept that in mind when he was making the game, that he probably needed to reach a little bit more of an accessible audience.
Well, but, he does have experience with making accessible games when he made the absolutely terrible DOA Extreme
Beach Volleyball.
Because it involved, what, like two buttons?
Right.
It was terrible! I just have to keep saying that it's terrible.
But I also played another demo for 360 Rock Band, but the only full game that I played this week was a game that I purchased, and that was Final Fantasy Tactics: The War of the Lions for PSP.
And
it is freaking awesome. I played the original on the PlayStation 1, and when I was playing this one, I was like, the story is actually a little bit easier to comprehend, because I remember the story on the PS1 was like,
it was so poorly translated.
Oh yeah, it was real poorly translated. And this one, I mean, it's still a complex story, but you can still wrap your head around it a little bit easier than the PS1 version. And playing the game really brought back some memories back when I was playing on PS1. And I was like, man, the music to this game is freaking, it owns, man. It owns.
Potatoes.
Yeah, the music in Final Fantasy Tactics is, like, incredible. It's really good soundtrack. And thing is, though, it's not for the faint of heart, man. It's definitely hardcore. It's like the only stage in that whole game that's easy is the very first stage. So it lures you into a false sense of security before it totally just beats your ass, man. It's like, okay, we got you one free one. Okay, now it's time to die.
You get a freebie.
Yeah, you get a freebie.
Nah.
It's a tough
hard
game.
So
yeah.
Anybody that's buying this obviously knows that it's not.
Right.
It's definitely not for the casual RPG fan.
Yeah, the thing is, it's kind of a contrast to Jeanne d'Arc, the strategy game loosely based on Joan of Arc. I mean, Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. I feel like we talk about Jeanne d'Arc every week, too.
Yeah. At least comes up once every week.
Thing is, though, I mean, it's a contrast to that, because that game is actually quite easy. It's got the same type of gameplay mechanics, but the enemies aren't as relentless as they are in Final Fantasy Tactics.
Right.
And they're a lot easier to take out than Final Fantasy Tactics. Final Fantasy Tactics, man, dude, there's parts in that game where the enemy, like, outnumbers you at, like, 2-1, and they have, like, double the hit points as all of your characters, and you have to find some way to, like, try to outthink them. And until you do that, you just completely get thrashed.
Nice.
So does that wrap up your funneling?
Yeah, for this week. I'm still waiting for my 360, which won't be here until probably around Christmas time, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's like best case scenario before
Well, maybe
Christmas.
Santa Claus will deliver it to you early.
I'm hoping. That'd you be know, nice.
Santa Claus dresses in a brown suit.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Talk about anticlimactic.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Rock Band discussion here in a minute. But first up, I'm going to wrap up a little bit of what I played this week, and as if I didn't have enough to play. I got Kane and Lynch this week.
And
that pretty much says it all, I think.
It's not a bad game. It's just not a great game.
Right, and I mean, that's its problem. That's why I said that they should have delayed it, is because I really think that if that game would have shown up in, say, February, when there really wasn't much out, it probably would have done really well.
It would have done a lot better with me had they allowed you to play the co-op
online. Right.
And that's what really killed it for me. But the multiplayer that's in there, and it's sad that it's going to get buried, is freaking awesome.
Right.
I mean, you start off as, like, bank robbers. You can play up to 8 people, I believe. You go into the game as bank robbers. The catch is that during the mission, you know, the more you work together, the more money you earn. But at some point, if you decide, hey, I've earned enough money, you can kill anybody else in the group.
And take their money. Whoa.
But the people that you kill come back as the police trying to stop you.
That is an interesting dynamic.
It's a very interesting and very good multiplayer.
You see, that's the kind of creativity that we need in games nowadays.
Well, but absolutely it is, but the problem is because it released with all these fantastic games, and not even, you know, all these incredibly well-hyped games, that nobody's going to play it. Nobody's going to play it.
I mean, literally, like, my friends list usually changes every week, game to game, and, like, almost everybody on my list plays everything. I'm the only person, I think, on my friends list that has played Kane and Lynch. I mean, that's how low-key this game is.
Well, and plus, I mean, right now, the bar is set so high
that
the end of this year with all the great games that have released since August, even since, you know, June or July, the bar has been set so high, and all these games are coming out one right after another. If you're just kind of better than average, there's no way you're gonna pick up any sales unless, you know, I mean, some people would argue that Assassin's Creed is just better than average, but it was so incredibly well hyped
that so many people bought it.
Right.
Well, the problem with Kane and Lynch also is that it suffers a lot of stupid video game problems. Like, the aiming is very touchy. It's very hard to, like I can literally have my crosshairs on a guy's head and shoot him and I'll miss for some weird reason. The camera in third person is very hard to control. It's very hard. It's a weird perspective. The controls are very sluggish. It's got a lot of problems.
What did you think of the cover system? I heard the cover system was pretty bad.
The cover system is problematic a lot because you attach to certain things, but certain things you can't. So, like, there were some levels where I'd walk up to something and I'd attach to the wall, and I'm like, well, I didn't really want to do that. And then there's other times where I'm trying to get into cover and I can't because he won't attach to the wall. And I'm, like, getting pissed off about it. And I'm like, So, you know, it's not a bad game. It's just not a great game. And it's not something that you're going to want to go out and spend $60 on. It's just not. I mean, unless you've got 8 people that you know that you're going to play this multiplayer in. Because that's really where the game shines, is in its multiplayer. Same thing with Time Shift. It's the multiplayer that made it really solidified. Other than that, it's, you know, the squad stuff that's in it, it's pretty much non-existent. And this coming from the guys that made Freedom Fighters really depresses me. Because Freedom Fighters was so damn good.
Oh, yeah. And I remember playing that game. That game was
really good.
And
Freedom Fighters did really well because it came out at an awkward time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kane and Lynch is a game that you can go and rent it and get what you want out of it. And maybe when it's like $20 or $30, it's not a bad buy. But I don't know right now. I'm also playing Call of Duty 4. Since you talked about single player, I'll talk about the multiplayer. Most addictive multiplayer I've played in a long time.
Really?
And it's stupid why it's addictive. Because when you start, you're a scrub, basically. You have nothing. You have a crappy gun. You have crappy grenades. You have no upgrades. You start playing, and you start leveling up. And this level-up system works really fast and really well. Every time you level up, you open up new guns. You open up new attachments for those guns. See, like, at the point when you first start, you just have iron sights. So it's a lot harder to see. You level up to, I think, what did I get to? Like a level 7 or an 8, you get what's called the red dot sight. So like you have in a single player game where it's much easier to hit people.
Right.
You also unlock these things called challenges. And for each challenge that you complete, you earn a new upgrade to that weapon. So kill 25 guys with the M4. You go unlock like a new sight. You unlock a bigger ammo clip. You unlock these, and you also, the further you get up in your rank, you also unlock these like perks. They call them perks, and you get 3 for each character that you use. And they can include anything from better more bullet damage, more health, faster reload, longer sprint. And it's just these little things, the way you tweak your character. You can create a custom class online. And it's, and not to mention, it's so fast. And it's so addictive. But getting these little perks and things, these little points and leveling up is so addictive that you just keep playing it.
How is the balancing on it? Because it seems like that would be very very frustrating for new people when they first jump in. If they're in a room with people a lot higher level than them that have a lot better guns.
You would think that. I mean, you would really think that. But the nice thing about Call of Duty is that it never punishes you for losing. Like, even when you lose, you still get some points.
Gotcha.
And when I first started, the first room we went into, I was playing with Killer Wolverine. The first room we went into, it was like literally, like, Killer Wolverine's like a 31 level.
Right.
I was level 1. We get in this room, you see 50, 31, 40, 15, 20, you know. There was one guy in there that was a level 4, and that was it. There was no other single-digit levels in there with me. It didn't feel unbalanced while I was playing. I mean, I still held my own. We actually won the game, and I got a bunch of points leveled up real quick. I mean, even if these guys have these perks and things...
They still have to use them.
They still have to use them, and they still have to be good enough to use them. And it didn't feel unbalanced because I was still getting kills on these guys because the game moves so fast that it's not hard to get a kill.
Gotcha.
But when you first start off, you are going to be at the bottom of usually every game. You know, you're not going to get as many kills. You're going to die more. But once you get these perks, you start getting better. And it's almost like an RPG. I call it like a military RPG. Like, the better you, the more you play, the better you get. The more perks you get, the higher your character levels.
Gotcha.
So
that sounds really cool.
It's freaking addictive, though. Like, I literally sat down and started playing. I'm like, yeah, I'll play 4 or 5 matches, you know. Next thing I know, it's like 2 hours later. I'm still playing. I'm like, shit, I got to go to bed. I'm so addicted to this. And I love it. I mean, it's the multiplayer is awesome. Which, if you round it out with the incredible single player, you just have one hell of a package.
I'm definitely going to have to pick that up when I get my 360.
I cannot stress this enough. The Halo party system in every game, it's in Call of Duty, so you can always play with your friends and stay with your friends.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, that really needs to be a requirement.
Yeah, which we may see with the fall update.
Right.
With the clan system.
Right.
So,
the fall update.
Indeed.
Fall update.
But I think Call of Duty 4 is a must-own for everybody. I love that game. Single player's great. Multiplayer's great.
Put them together.
Yeah, just phenomenal.
It's like peanut butter package. And jelly.
I hate jelly. Anyway, I also played Black Sight this week, Area 51.
And how was that?
Another one of those games where you stop and you don't say anything, and people are like, "That's gotta be terrible." The problem with Black Sight is that it's prototypical. It's just like every other first-person shooter you've ever played, but it plays good. It plays really good.
Right, but the problem is, like we were saying,
you don't.
Right now, you have to do something to stand out.
And it does
you're
nothing. It is your prototypical run of the mill. If there was a textbook and somebody was reading it, like how to make a first person shooter, Black Sight followed it to a T.
Yeah, that's the thing about releasing it in the fall and the holiday season, is that unless it's a triple A title, it's like automatically going to get, oh, it sucks. It's a piece of crap.
Right. Yeah,
you know it. If it's a 1A or a AA title, it's like, oh, it sucks. You know, it's not a 10 or 8. It's like a 7.
Right.
So games that get that type of score that fall into that in that category of being mediocre or average are completely thrashed by the upper grade echelon games that come out in the holiday season.
Right. I really think that's what happened with Assassin's Creed. If we go back to Assassin's Creed, I really think that people were hyping it up to be, you know, this...
The second coming.
Yeah, the second coming. You know what I mean? And most people expected it to be, you know, on par, if not better, than games like Mario Galaxy and BioShock and Mass Effect. And you know what? It's a really, really, really good game.
It is.
And I think if it had been released any other time, if it had got released, let's say, in February, I think it would have got 9s across the board.
Oh, yeah, and people would have been raving about it and all kinds of stuff.
But because of all the great games that have been coming out lately, people focused on the negatives of it, which, you know, it does. It has negatives. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
But I think people kind of latched onto those because not only because they expected more out of it, but because there's been so many games that have sort of magnified the microscope, so to speak. I think that's why it got so many mixed reviews, is because people didn't really know how to score it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they didn't want to score it a if one website scored BioShock a 9, they didn't want to score Assassin's Creed a 9 because
they didn't want it
to seem like it was on the same page.
Yeah.
So instead of scoring it like an 8 or an 8.5, they kicked it all the way down to a 7.
And that's the problem with review sites these days, and I saw it like immediately when the Assassin's Creed reviews came out. It blasted across the internet. Okay, now that Assassin's Creed's a flop, I'm like,
right.
How is it a flop?
Right.
Seriously.
I think its average right now is in the 7s.
Yeah. How is that a flop? Right. When did a 7 become a flop?
Right.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, I think, once again, I think people's expectations were just really, really high. I know mine were, but then again, mine, I don't feel as disappointed as some people seem to feel.
I'm not either.
I had really high expectations for the game. I really did.
Mine went up and down, and when they came back up, I wasn't disappointed when I played it. No. I still liked it a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, like I said, I think it's a combination of the hype for Assassin's Creed and the fact that, you know, there's just so many good games out right now that it's just sort of raised the bar.
But back to BlackSite.
Back to BlackSite, sorry.
BlackSite released in March, April, May, June, July, August, even September, would have been a great game.
Yeah.
It would have been a really good, solid purchase. It would have been the 7s. But instead, as it is, being released next to Call of Duty, not long after Halo, you know, in the same time frame as BioShock, same thing, it's just going to get nailed. And it's going to be one of those games that drop quick, but it's still really good, so it's worth checking out. The multiplayer I haven't touched yet, so I can't comment on the multiplayer. But single player, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun going through it. And I probably, when I do review, it'll get around a 7. You know, somewhere in that area, because I think it's a good game. I'm not going to compare it to the fact that I just finished, you know, or that I'm playing Call of Duty, or that I'm playing Halo, or that I played BioShock. I'm not going to compare it like that. I'm just going to compare it on its own merits and what it does. It's got problems, yeah, but it's also fun. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters to me. Did I enjoy playing through this game? That's all I got to say about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
That's all it works.
That reminds me of when I was at the game store a couple days ago. I was talking to the manager of the game store, and he said that someone came in with their copy of Assassin's Creed, and it was still in its plastic, and he returned it. He was like, well, why are you returning it? He's like, because I saw a bad review of it.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's like, it's like you have all these good reviews and, you know, some average reviews and then maybe a bad review. And it's like, oh, it's got a bad review. Oh, hated it. And he turns it in. He didn't even play the game. He didn't even play it. That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you should use reviews to guide your purchasing decisions. But the bottom line is, if you see a game and you're really excited about it, there's no reason a review should make you change your mind.
No.
Unless the review says, this game is completely broken, don't play it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if every review...
Right.
Like, if like every review it got was like 2s and 3s...
Right.
It was like all unanimous, you know, that, hey, this really does suck.
Right.
But then
you get
Game Informer review and Assassin's Creed and giving it a 9.5.
Right.
I mean, you could look at that and read that. I mean,
yeah.
It's obvious that this game is either you're going to love it
or
you're
going
to hate
it.
I mean, that's the way it rolls.
And the only way to tell the difference is to play it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it amazes me that someone could be so excited about a game and then not buy it based on a review. I just, like, to me, if you're pumped up about the game, if you're pumped up enough to pre-order it and buy it, and then you change your mind because of a review, that's stupid to me.
Yeah.
It's like, play it yourself and see if you like it. Because you know what? There have been plenty of games that have gotten bad reviews that I was really excited about and I bought anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was excited about it. Now, if it's a game that maybe I don't know if I really want it or not, if I'm just kind of, well, we'll see how it turns out before I decide if I want it or not, then, yeah, if it starts getting 5s and 6s and 7s, then I'm probably going to pass on it. But if you're excited about a game and you let a review change your mind, it's not a good idea.
this Assassin's Creed thing.
You miss out on a lot of stuff that way.
Has just spawned so much of this debate.
I know,
in the
it's
industry.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It really is crazy how varied the scores have been. And you know what's even worse is that you have websites like IGN
that had two reviews. Say,
well, not only that, but they say what is it? IGN said that the frame rate on the PlayStation 3 version was noticeably worse than the 360 version. And then you go to GameSpot, and GameSpot says the PlayStation 3 has a better frame rate, the 360 has better lighting. It's like, you know what? If you guys are that wrong, or you know, one of them is wrong, obviously. Yeah. You know, either chances are what it is the frame rates are exactly the same, but if one of them says that it's way worse on the PlayStation 3, and one of them says that it's worse on the 360, then one of them is wrong.
Well,
so that tells you right there that you can't go by a review as gospel. You just kind of have to use it as a guide.
Well, there was controversy over the IGN review because apparently they said something about the frame rate, and
then they took it off,
and then they put it back in.
Right.
And I'm like, well,
they said it was. They said it was a copy paste mistake.
Copy paste mistake.
It was not a copy paste mistake. I mean, come on. I like IGN, but you know, you got found out about it. You changed your review. Somebody found out about it. You changed it back to the way it was. Don't lie.
Well,
just tell everybody why it really happened.
I love the fact that IGN also reviewed it on their U.S. site and gave it like a 7 something.
Right.
And then on their Australian site, they gave it an 8.7.
Well, yeah, and on the U.K. site, it got a 6.5. I mean,
even the fucking same site can't agree
on
this
game. On the same website, it got 3 different reviews. It's amazing to me. And, you know, the reviewer that gave it a 5.5, that really you can take the people who gave it on the extremes and just kind of throw them out the window. Because if you gave the game a 5.5, come on.
It's the same guy that gave it a 9.5. You can be like, come on.
Right.
It's not
the,
that
the
good.
Only reason they're giving him those scores is so they can draw people into their website.
Exactly.
So, you know, you can pretty much do that with just about every review. You can pretty much just take the top couple and the bottom couple and cut them off.
That's why we have game rankings
right,
and Metacritic.
And Metacritic, yep.
Which, speaking of which, I know this has no pertinence to this conversation, but I got an email the other day from Activision. Apparently my Spider-Man Friend or Foe review is going to be quoted in their marketing, so I may be on television.
Nice.
I may be on the box. I may be in a magazine ad.
You might actually be on the back of the box.
I might actually be on the back of the box. You don't know.
Did the one sentence they take say, Spider-Man Friend or Foe is, and then just stopped?
No. Actually, one of the ones they took was, I said something at the bottom. I was like, because this plays so well, it's so easy, and it's accessible, that this makes this game more friend than foe.
Nice.
Like,
oh, that
see
is.
That? See
that's,
that?
That's nice.
That's a nice little quote there.
So yeah, more friend than
it's
foe.
Not, it's still not quite as good as, it's better than the Burger King.
I don't think anybody's going to put that on a box.
But it's pretty good.
All right, so now that we've done talking about Assassin's Creed, because I'm sure people are tired of hearing about our comments about the reviews, because obviously it sparked enough controversy in the internet, and the Jade Raymond thing, just for the record, it needs to go away.
Yes,
because
it's
disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
There's
to
no, there's absolutely no excuse for anything like
whoever
that.
Whoever drew that should just, I mean.
And, you know, people are saying, well, she put herself in the public eye, blah, 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 blah. You know what? There's a difference between making jokes about people and drawing explicit comics that depict the kind of stuff that they're depicting.
It's fine if they want to harass her about not seeming like a gamer and seeming, you know, in her interviews just kind of being, you know. And that's fine if you want to do that, but seriously,
but
there's a line.
There's a line. There is a line.
And
I
it
mean,
was crossed.
Yeah. And you know what? They're so, I don't know. I don't understand anybody that's defending the comic. You know, I understand free speech. I understand that the guy is allowed to draw it, but that doesn't mean it's not disgusting.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's no excuse for it. And if you're defending the actual comic, then, you know, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. No kidding, man.
You're just wrong.
All right, but now let's talk about a little game that's coming out this Tuesday that we all managed to get
a
little playtime with.
A little playtime. Hell, we played it for like 4 hours.
I played it for about 4 minutes, but yeah.
Well, you have a little opinion on it then.
Yeah, a little bitty opinion.
We'd like to say that the Breadstick Goons will be on tour.
Yes.
This fall.
Yeah, the random band name generator is just fantastic.
The Breadstick
The Breadstick Goons.
That was our first random name that came up when it said
that is
name
awesome.
Your band. Yeah. Did you see the IGN's band name?
No,
the
I didn't.
The Ignorant Sluts.
Ignorant Sluts.
Yeah, I was like, no. I guess 1UPS is like Beard Rock.
Beard Rock. Nice.
Beard Rock.
But ours was the Breadstick Goons, and we threw a little rock band soiree. We all got to play a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Let's start with Gambus, because you got the least amount of time. What instrument did you play?
I played the drums.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, man, I got to play the drums.
That seems like the thing.
I'm like, I got to play this. I got to play this. So I don't even remember what song I picked. But
I can tell you exactly what songs we played, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But all I remember was I'd be hitting the drums, and I was like off, man. I was terrible. And then toward the end of the song, I got a couple of them in, and I was like, okay, so the timing is a little bit different than like Guitar Hero.
And that seemed to be the, like, when all of us were playing it, it seemed the same way.
Right.
And I'm starting to wonder.
It does take some getting used to.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if, like, there's some, it didn't seem like there was any calibration for it in the game.
Yeah, it seemed
it was TV, there's TV-specific calibration.
Yeah.
But that was all the calibration.
That'll have to wait till Tuesday when I actually get it in-house and start toying around with it, but.
Because it seemed like when I would hit one of the drums, when the colored spheres align and I hit the drum, it seemed like it took the signal about a half second.
Yeah, I got
like you would almost
too.
Have to hit the drum a half second before your eyes would visually say, okay, I should hit the drum now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the whole timing of it just threw me off because when you would hit the drum, the sphere symbol would like pop up, it would pop up and like hit the scrolling symbol, and it would take about probably less than half a second, about a quarter of a second, but still, I mean, it's not really instantaneous like we're used to
with Guitar Hero.
Yeah. And that really threw me off, and I think the song that I chose, I can't remember what it was. I think I was too embarrassed to remember. It was one of those memories where you just kind of want to blot out in your mind. So, because I think it was like someone watching. No, there was only one person watching, and I was like, I probably hit like 2% of what I was supposed to hit, and I just like quietly like put the drumsticks away after the song and didn't look at anybody in the face. I just walked off like...
You did the walk of shame?
I did the walk of shame, man. I was like, ooh, just quietly, nonchalantly put the sticks down and just, like, walked off with my head, like, buried to the floor.
So what did you think of the drum kit itself? I mean...
It seemed kind of cool, but I don't know. I was looking at it. When I was playing the game, I was like, this is $80? I was like, I don't know. I mean, this kind of reminds me of like a larger Fisher-Price toy, almost.
Well, it's kind of like the Guitar Hero guitar is the same thing.
Yeah,
the first time you saw it, you're kind of like, this looks like them play school things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's
very sturdy. I will give it that. It's actually pretty sturdy. I like being able that you can adjust the height, and the foot pedal is nice. I wish it came with a stool.
I wasn't even able to get to the foot pedal because the foot pedal was actually on the bottom shelf, and I was afraid that if I put my foot on the foot pedal, I'd break the shelf and end up like tumbling the whole entire setup, including the two guitars that were on display. I was afraid that all of that would just crash down and hit the ground, and then I would really be putting those sticks down and just nonchalantly walking away.
You'd be nonchalantly running away.
I'd be nonchalantly like
sprinting
away
at your top speed.
Oh yeah.
Well, we sat down and we actually did the band world tour, and the first thing I have to say about this game is for a game that is so designed for a casual audience, the menu and all that system is so fucking convoluted and
confusing. It is a little convoluted.
And I don't know how many times we had to, like, tell other people, like, no, you need to go back. Now you need to press down. Now you need to select this. Now you need to select that. Now you need to switch this. This is where you can switch that. And it was just so confusing.
There is a lot of going back and forth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it definitely got better the more we played it. But it really was. When you first jump into it, it's definitely not as user-friendly as I would hope. It's still, the thing about it is, yeah, maybe it's not as user-friendly as Guitar Hero, but it's doing so much more. Like,
yeah.
There's so many, you got four people at once, all trying to pick their person, all trying to, you know, you got the two people on the guitar trying to pick whether the guitar or bass. You got everybody trying to get their sound settings right. You got the lefty flip, because we've got one crazy-ass person who plays lefty.
Yeah, which makes no sense, because he's right-handed.
so there's a lot of stuff going on at once, which adds to the complication.
But it's the small things that could have made it better, like when you're selecting between the two. If it had made it like a significantly different color,
right,
it would have made it so much more,
yeah,
stand out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing about it. I mean, I still had a lot of fun. And I think the problem that's going to lie in this is if you're playing it by yourself, if you're not playing the drums, this is not going to be a very fun game.
I don't know. I think it could be fun. I mean, you can't... the guitar parts, to me, did not seem as in-depth as Guitar Hero's guitar
parts.
No,
they're not.
Obviously, because it's doing a lot more.
Yeah.
But
when you make it a solo career, they could have made it harder.
Right.
You know, and it's just not. It's not hard at all.
So, the actual guitar itself is really, really cool looking.
Cool looking, but I still don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like the Fender guitar. Seems like there's a mixed between a lot of people.
Right.
You either hate this guitar or you love this guitar, and it comes from the fact that I think if you're used to the Guitar Hero controller so much,
it's going
to
be weird for
you. You're not going to like it at first. It may grow on me after a while.
I really like the buttons. I do really like the buttons. I hate, on the new guitar, I hate the strum bar.
Really?
I hate it.
I like it more than...
Because it doesn't have that click like the Guitar Hero strum bar does. And it's, I don't know, it almost feels like it has more tension to it. I don't know. I didn't like the strum bar as much. I did like the buttons in the neck. I liked how they don't really stick out. They're kind of all almost flat with the neck.
That's the one thing that I didn't like, because it was harder to adjust going back and forth. Between the, but it was funny because position wise it felt like I could reach my position earlier,
right,
but it was easier to lose where my fingers were.
Right.
Because the definition on the middle button is not nearly as like out there as like,
right,
Guitar Heroes.
Right.
And that was a big thing.
I also sucked it up at the drums. Just to let you know, horribly sucked it up at the drums. I rocked it out on the guitar and the bass, however.
And you rocked it out on the vocals, which,
right,
the vocals seem to get buried in all of this.
It does. It really does. But the vocal recognition is fantastic.
The vocal recognition is Karaoke Revolution.
Right, it is. If you played any of the Karaoke Revolution games, you'll instantly be familiar with the vocal track. It works exactly the same way. It registers the same way. The only nice thing now is, because it's a band game, the spots where nobody's singing, you have to play tambourine with the guitar.
Or the overdrive
part.
Or
with the microphone.
The overdrive part is great, because on the drums, you know how on the guitar you tilt the guitar, you get your like star power, overdrive, whatever. With the drums and the vocals, you get these little segments where you can like just randomly do stuff. And on the drums, you just hit everything, and as long as you hit the cymbal at the end, you get the overdrive power. But on the vocals, there's just this big gold section where you can just scream.
You just,
and it's hilarious.
Talk, say whatever you want. Say, I love you, New York. Whatever you want to say, scream it at the top of your lungs, and you get bonus points for it.
Oh, it was
That's
hilarious.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. It seems, you know, like I said, vocally, it seems like they just seriously took Karaoke Revolution and threw it in there.
Yeah.
It's spot on.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say about the vocals? Oh, the nice thing, when you're doing the tambourine thing.
Yeah.
It not only does it give you something to do, but it like the guitar, measures your percentage of notes hit in the solo.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the tambourine, it measures the percentage of how many tambourine hits you hit. If you're doing the guitar solo,
it
tells you how many what percentage of the notes you hit in the solo.
Yeah.
And then it'll say, 85%, great solo,
yeah,
or whatever. It's really cool.
And
it's
the fact that the stars are now at the top right.
Yes.
So, they build up, so it tells you what star you've got during the song.
Right. So there's no thinking that you got a 5-star performance and then finding out that it was only 4.
Yeah.
It tells you right in the game. how many stars you're at.
That makes it really nice.
Yeah, I do like that.
There's a lot of stuff that it does really, really well.
There's a lot of things it does really well. The presentation is awesome. Yeah. Where, like, your band comes out, and it shows you the name of your band, and then it shows you each individual member.
Right.
And they're, like, standing there, like, yeah!
And the one thing that amazed me, which it's the little things that really kind of make it complete, is the lip-syncing for your singer is spot on.
So is the guitar playing.
Yeah.
If you happen to notice, it was spot on.
Right.
I mean,
so,
it was really good.
Yeah. It's that all that stuff, the sync is really, really good. Gameplay-wise, like I said, if you like the vocals, or if you love Karaoke Revolution, you'll love singing on it. Bass is pretty much the same as Guitar Hero. Pretty much. I didn't notice really any difference.
There's not. And the only thing that I noticed about the game is that the guitar parts are ridiculously easy for somebody like me who's been playing Guitar Hero 3 on expert
right.
and things. It's ridiculously easy.
But the drums are definitely everybody's downfall.
But they're so much fun that you
yeah,
don't care.
Fun.
So that's going to be like the big learning curve. I think the final synopsis is if you're going to buy this for yourself, don't.
Right. Yeah, if you were planning to buy it to play it by yourself, definitely don't.
No.
But if you've got, you know, four friends or three friends that can...
I'd say even two.
Right.
Because you could do two-player and do guitar and drums or, you know, singing and guitar, and it would still be fun.
Right.
But by yourself...
Not so much.
No.
If you're going to buy it for by yourself, just buy the drum kit. Don't buy the guitars.
Yeah, but you got to wait till next year for that.
Right.
So... That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Thing is, I might do that because I think the drums would be kind of cool to play.
But then again, you got to look at it from a price perspective. With the drums in the game, that's $140.
That's true.
For another $30, you get a guitar and a mic.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, well, that's the only part you want to play is the drums. Well, it's $140 with
right.
just the drums and the guitar. Or
it
the drums
really,
in the game.
They really should do a pack that's just the drums and the game.
Make
for
it like $129.
Bucks.
I don't know if they could get away with 100.
Oh, they might be able to.
I'd say it'd at least be 129, but still you're saving $10 that
right.
way.
How about this? Does the Guitar Hero 3 guitar work with Rock Band?
There's been so many rumors and different opinions about this that I don't know what to believe anymore until I get the damn thing in my house and try it.
Right.
Like, IGN said any guitar that you have will work with it.
Yeah, because we didn't try.
Because he doesn't have it.
Yeah, we had two Rock Band guitars. So.
But until I get it in here in this house and try it with the wireless one, I won't know. I know it works with the Explorer for sure.
Right.
The Guitar Hero 2 Explorer.
The wired Explorer.
Oh, okay.
But as far as PS3 and 360 go for the new wireless Les Paul, I've heard it doesn't, and I heard it does. So I don't know.
And how was the, like, the setup? Was there wires going all over the place when you were playing the game?
Yeah, because everything's wired, including the mic, the drums, and both guitars were wired, and you have this little USB hub that you do have to plug into the wall, and it's so tiny. It's like this big.
Right.
And it's just you just basically plug all four of them into it and then plug it into the 360.
Right. And then plug it into the wall, which is just ridiculous.
I don't understand.
Jeez.
It's freaking USB. Why
right.
do you need power? Power should come from the system.
Right.
It's retarded that you have to plug it into the wall. I don't like that at all.
No.
I really don't.
Well, the thing is, I can kind of understand that because, you know, having the power going all the way to two guitars, a microphone, and a drum set would probably send the 360 into a red ring.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It'd be like, oh, working overtime,
See, it'll be nice when I play it here in the house when it's only two players because the 360 has the two
right.
slots right on the front. So if you're only playing two players, you should be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a wireless adapter on your 360, there is another USB port in the back, so you could do three.
Right.
Because, I mean, think about it. If you have, like, a person on drums and a person on a guitar, and you're using two USB ports in the very front. And then on top of that, you're using the wireless USB port in the back. I mean, that's already quite a bit of power that's being used. I mean, I'm guessing that's probably like the borderline of...
Yeah, but what I don't understand is if you have the HD DVD player, it gives you two extra slots. So in essence, it'll give you four slots, and you can plug four controllers into that. So
yeah,
how is this any different?
The thing is, just because they have it available doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea. I mean, it might be all right.
Here's my philosophy, and this works with everything. If you can't do it, don't allow it.
Exactly.
You know.
And the thing is, though, unfortunately, they're like, if it's theoretically possible, then we'll do it. And they don't really think about if you should or should not do it.
Just like I don't believe car stereos should go up as high as they do, because you know what? After a certain level, they don't work anymore.
Right.
They blow up.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't give me that level to go to, motherfucker. Seriously.
Yeah.
So what's your final synopsis on Guitar Hero?
You mean Rock Band?
Rock Band.
I like it, and I think I'm going to enjoy it. I like I said, if you're playing it by yourself, don't buy it. Don't buy it at all.
It's a great multiplayer game.
It is a fantastic multiplayer game.
We absolutely had a blast playing a multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the way it's meant to be played. It's not meant to be played. They put the solo careers in there just so you can practice for the multiplayer, pretty
much. And don't buy it with the idea that you're going to all get online and play the Rock Band, because you can't play the World Tour online.
Online. So. Right. And you can't... when you play online, you can't hear the singer.
Nope.
Which, you know, half the fun of it is being all together in the same room anyway. So
yeah.
I've said this before, if you got four friends or three friends and everybody's all willing to go in on it, buy it together, keep it at somebody's house, and you'll have an absolute blast with it. But buy it for yourself.
Mm-mm.
And just play it by yourself at home, because it's not going to satisfy you like Guitar Hero would.
No.
If you're just playing it by yourself.
Nope.
But I do have to give it an insane amount of props for bringing everything together so well.
Yeah, it does do it better than anything I've ever seen.
You know what we forgot to mention?
What's that?
The other problem that we ran into in Band World Tour, the same freaking songs over and over and over again. That was the only, and you know, it may have just been dumb luck. But when we were playing Band World Tour, we played "Say It Ain't So" by Weezer. Which, you know, one of my favorite songs ever, but the 1800th time you play it, it sort of loses some of its luster. And "Should I Stay or Should I Go" by The Clash.
We
played those two
songs
so many times. Like, every time we did a mystery set list, we ended up with those two songs.
Yeah.
Every time. And it got a little frustrating towards the end, because it was like, you know, you've got... what, 58 songs in this game?
Well, that's the big thing is, like, unless you get through and you start playing through the World Tour, you don't unlock these songs.
Right.
So you're getting the same songs over and over and over again, and that's Rock Band's downfall. And, you know, their answer is, well, downloadable content. Well, fuck you. It should be in the box.
Right.
I'm sorry. It should be. Your best song should not be DLC.
They really should have... I think they really should have had more songs available from the beginning.
Yeah.
As far as stuff... You know, I understand that they want stuff for you to unlock, but, I mean, if you've got 58 songs in the box, I'd say 40 of those should have been available from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because that would have added a lot more variety to the Band World Tour, because you have to play through the same songs over and over and over again in order to unlock anything.
And that's what kills me, is people argue that. They'll be like, well, that's how real bands play. I'm like, I'm not in a real band. I'm playing a video game.
Right.
I want to have fun.
I don't want to play the same song over and over and
over. I don't mind if you make me play it every once in a while over and over again, but not constantly.
Right.
I mean, if we had to play "Say It Ain't So" or you know, the Clash song again, I was going to throw something.
Right.
We actually quit once because we didn't want to play it again.
Right. It got to the point where we were like, you know what, stupid Clash song again. We're just going to back out. And we're going to try it again and see if we can get a different random song, even though we'd already beat the Weezer song.
Yeah.
So we totally scrapped the Weezer song and just backed out of it and said, screw it, we're not playing the Clash again.
Jeez.
And then we jumped into another Band World Tour and promptly got the Clash song again.
I know, we opened it up and it's got two brand new songs. What was it, Black Hole Sun and Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. And we get in there and we're like, oh, the mystery set list will be something new. Comes up, should I stay or should I go? Like, not again, God.
Yeah, that was pretty frustrating. But, you know what? For 4 hours, we had an absolute blast with it.
Yeah.
So I can't complain.
No.
It was awesome.
It's awesome if you have the means and the friends, you need to buy this.
Right. Right.
That's pretty much the bottom line.
There you go.
So
if you don't have any friends,
you should probably go make some instead of listening to our podcast.
Get out, you know, go out to the mall or something, hang out at a coffee shop or something, make some friends.
Do it, seriously.
Yeah.
Sweet nectar.
Go to EB Games and make some friends, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always...
lots of cool people there.
Yeah.
Crickets.
All right, so that wraps up Fondling, the longest edition of Fondling Your Console
in
history.
Yeah, no doubt. We're at an hour already.
By God!
By God.
All right, so we're going to go into the news, so... are you going to sit down for this?
And now, News for Gamers, Internet Star Radio Program, proudly brings to you News Quickies. Brought to you by Sweetie the Talking Tomcats, Sugary Flavored Children's Cereal. Remember what Sweetie says, kids. If you don't eat my cereal every day, your parents will get divorced. And now with the news, zero tolerance.
Well, that's terrible.
Oh, man.
That's terrible. It is. Yeah, that's terrible. All right,
that's like the best ad campaign ever.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Ghostbusters game that was rumored for a while is now official.
Oh, yes!
And it looks really cool.
It does. But then again, it's the Ghostbusters. I mean, right. Well, then again, there was Ghostbusters on the NES.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
And on the Atari.
Yeah.
And it was an arcade version of the Ghostbusters, which was actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
I never played the arcade one.
It was a top-down game, and it was very similar to Akari Warriors.
Ooh, there's an old one from the past.
Yeah.
Akari Warriors. You know what's funny? I almost mentioned Akari Warriors when we were talking about Contra earlier.
Akari Warriors.
Something in the fates wanted us to talk about Akari Warriors today.
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember playing the Ghostbusters arcade game, like, ooh. It's been about... It's That was pretty funny.
You had to see that, because the way that played out was Gambus going, I remember playing the Ghostbusters arcade game, then a wipe across his brow. Woo!
What the hell, man? Did that game get you hot?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just had to rewind the rollback machine all the way up to 2 decades ago.
It does take a long time.
Because it's been about 20 years since I played that, and I remember the first time I played the Ghostbusters arcade game was at a 7-Eleven shop.
Nice.
And we were on vacation going to Lake Erie, and we were like in Michigan or something. And I remember that was like one of the actual highlights of the whole trip was going to the 7-Eleven and be like, holy crap, they got a Ghostbusters arcade game. And
you know
I played
you're
it
a geek when your highlight of going to a Lake Erie family vacation is the Ghostbusters arcade
Dude.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we went to Florida one year, Fort Myers Beach. We're right on the beach, okay? We went across the street to a convenience store to buy some stuff. It was directly right next to the hotel. And they had Street Fighter II Championship Edition, the arcade machine.
Uh-huh.
And we were over there more than we were on the beach playing Street Fighter 2.
That's all right. I used to go to Kings Island and sit in the arcade and play Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter Alpha 2.
For those who don't know what Kings Island is, it's a huge amusement park.
With giant roller coasters.
Mason, Ohio, near Cincinnati.
Yeah. And I was playing Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter Alpha 2 instead of riding, you know, roller coasters.
Nice.
It's terrible. God, there's a lot of geekdom
going on. Oh, yeah. Seriously, if geeks were the Boy Scouts and we had patches, like for our sash or whatever, one of the patches would say, spent family vacation playing X game.
Yes. Sad.
That'd be a good forum topic, actually. If being a video gaming geek was like the Boy Scouts, what kind of patches would you have on your sash?
You know, that excuse me, I'm getting all choked up over here. But
I'd have that badge too. Get choked up about a game.
That's a fantastic forum topic. I'm proud of myself.
I want to hear about all these different badges. I imagine there'd be some good ones come out of this.
Oh yeah.
All this comes from Ghostbusters conversation.
No doubt.
We should probably move on.
We're posing that to you guys.
But
forum topic.
I'm a big Ghostbusters fan. Back in the 80s, man, I had the Proton Pack. Dude, I'm serious, man.
Dude, I had one too with like the.
Did you run around in your underwear with the backpack on and shoot people?
No,
did
I was.
You have the one that spun the little laser?
I was fully clothed, man. I was fully clothed.
You ruined my fantasy.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I did that.
Was it the proton pack with the gun that had like the big Nerf thing coming out of it, like the beam?
Yeah.
I had that one, too.
Yeah, and I even had the trap, too, man, where you throw the trap down on the floor, and it opens up the little trap door.
Stomped on the little thing, and it opened the trap door.
Yeah, it used air.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to get you again, Slimer. Meow.
You had to make the little meow sound after. Meow. That was one of the rules of the game.
All right, moving on.
Past the Ghostbusters. Moving on. Past Gambus Khan in his underwear.
P.S. Oh, PlayStation fanboys am cry as Atlus is now publishing games for Xbox 360. That was like their holy grail was Atlas. Oh, they bring all these great games from Japan. Now they're coming to 360. First couple games, I believe, is Operation Darkness and something else. I couldn't remember.
Spectre Force 3.
There you see? He knows. Isn't that game like 2 years old?
I think so, but...
Jesus Christ.
You know what, though? Part of me... Obviously, part of me thinks it's, you know, it's great news that, you know, Atlas is going to get a chance to spread the love, kind of, because they make some fantastic games.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders whether their games are really going to be all that well received by the 360 crowd.
Probably not.
You know, so it's kind of a half and half for me. Part of me says, you know, it's great that more people will get to experience how awesome their games are, but then part of me says most of the people won't buy them because, you know, it's not really the demographic.
I'll tell you this, man. I'll be all there, man, playing underground Japanese titles with achievements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't gone exclusive to Microsoft.
No,
right?
No,
they're
no,
just
no.
Right.
They are an official third-party publisher for Microsoft. So.
Right. So, I mean, that opens up a lot of possibilities.
It does.
I can see a lot of good games coming out of that. Because Atlas publishes, so, like, look, Odin Sphere came from Atlas.
I could actually see quite a bit of good... Xbox Live Arcade games coming out of that
because Atlas makes
really good games, but they're all they also make really good games that could very easily be made into Xbox Live Arcade titles.
I think it'd be cool if they released like a Persona 3, like a Shin Megami Tensei game for the 360 with achievements.
Here we go with this. Yeah. You know, I'm the achievement whore. I haven't mentioned them in like weeks. I swear to God, man.
It's because you're too busy actually playing games. Like you're supposed to.
Oh, yeah, but speaking of funny things, fondling your console, I forgot about this. I played Crackdown last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Just for more achievements?
Well, I was just, I was online. I'm like, you know, I don't feel like playing a shooter. I don't feel like playing anything. I just want to run around and Crackdown, jump around and shoot.
Yeah, jump around.
Get out your seat and jump around.
Yeah. Jump around. Oh. Jump around.
All right. Next up on the news, official from the fall update, Xbox Originals.
Yes.
So another virtual console-esque type of... We're going to get Halo and Fable and Psychonauts.
Psychonauts,
so
are that.
These going to be downloadable games?
Downloadable games. They're 1,200 points apiece.
Psychonauts with achievements.
No achievements.
No achievements?
No achievements.
Yeah, that's a part of the news of that is that with the Originals, there's no achievements.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Now I'm disappointed.
They're not changing anything about the game. It's going to be virtual console.
I've already got Psychonauts on the Xbox, and it's backwards.
It'll be
compatible.
Cool if they start putting some like obscure stuff on there. I think that'd be cool. Like, put some Atogi on there, Phantom Dust, stuff you can't buy anymore.
Phantom Dust was good.
And how about this?
Guilty Gear.
I've already got Guilty Gear.
Which, speaking of, I did play Guilty Gear, too. I forgot to tell you.
Nice.
It's fucking terrible.
Is it?
It's terrible. It's Dynasty Warriors crap.
Really?
That's pretty bad.
Guilty Gear for...
360. What?
For the 360?
Part 2, yeah.
Is this the 3D action-adventure one?
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's terrible?
It's terrible.
Man,
I saw
some video footage of it, and I thought for like the 10 seconds that I saw of it, it looked really cool.
You can play it if you want. I got a demo downstairs. It's terrible. I hated it.
You know what else I feel like we talk about every week? Guilty Gear. I feel like every week we're like, hey, if you don't have Guilty Gear on the regular Xbox, go buy it.
Hey, if they release it, that's my next question is with these Xbox Originals, are we going to be able to play online with the games it had online?
That's a good question.
Another thing I'm wondering is how much memory they take up.
I don't know about that, but I do know one thing that it was funny that Microsoft has already said before they come out, there will be problems with these. And they like listed this big thing of things like you'll see textures drop out in Halo 1 or something, and Fable has like this weird screen glitch when you do certain things, or it'll hang here, it'll hang there. I'm like,
nice.
Wow, way to just ruin everything come out and make yourself look bad.
Well, if there's no achievements, I'm sort of disappointed in that, because I've already got a lot of these games already on the original Xbox, and a lot of them are backwards compatible. So.
Well, a lot of people worry about this, too, is that they're going to do this and then completely just...
do away with backwards compatibility.
They're not going to do any more updates, and that would be really bad.
That would be really bad.
It's nice to have the option to download these old games if you don't own them. It's a cool feature. It's like Virtual Console. It's there if you want it. And the price isn't bad. It's $15 per game. It's not a terrible price, which is cheaper than...
But if they're going to be glitchy, that's a little...
Yeah, it's a little shitty. Yeah, I don't... Eh.
You know, once Guilty Gear makes its way to the backwards compatibility list, I think that'll about cover my entire collection.
I think the only thing I still want is ESPN football. And I don't know why I still want it, because the rosters are so damn out of date, and I have All-Pro, so I can play the same game.
Right.
I don't know why I want it anymore, but I still love that game.
Now that we got Marvel vs. Capcom, other than everything else, I think I'm covered.
Yeah?
Did they make backwards compatibility available for Beyond Good and Evil?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember if that's on the list or not.
I don't have
that
anymore.
Yeah, because that was a good game.
That was a great game. I've heard rumors, mumbling and grumbling, that Michael Ancel is working on a new Beyond Good and Evil.
Really?
Really?
Ooh. That surprised me.
Because apparently he didn't want to do Rayman Raving Rabbids 2, and Ubisoft told him if he did it, he could do anything he wanted.
Nice.
So apparently his choice was Beyond Good and Evil.
Nice. Sweet. So is it going to be a sequel or a reimagined?
Give me a sequel, damn it, because the cliffhanger's been on my mind since I finished the friggin' game years ago. Stupid crap.
Stupid not selling crap.
What they're going to do is he's going to port it to the Wii with motion controls, the same original game.
Yeah, and it'll look just like the Xbox version.
Give me a sequel or I won't have to, you know, cry in the corner.
Right. All right. Well, he will anyway, but he won't have to.
Yeah, I'll cry when he announces it. Beyond Good and Evil 2 coming to 360, PS3, and Wii.
It's the difference between Tears of Joy and Tears of Sadness.
And Tears in Heaven.
Beyond Good and Evil coming to three houses across the nation.
And mine's one of them. Moving on. We'll get to that last, but the little rumor about the first-party Microsoft game being canceled, you know what it is? Marvel Universe Online.
It's disappointing.
Is probably going to be canceled.
It's very disappointing.
That is disappointing.
And the reason is because apparently it was terrible.
Nice.
It was terrible.
Well, I'm a huge, huge, huge City of Heroes fan, as we've discussed on here before. So I was really looking forward to seeing what they could do in the actual, you know, Marvel universe with an MMO. But you know what? NCSoft is PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
They're just making something for PlayStation 3, so maybe we'll get lucky and they'll do a port of City of Heroes.
Well, actually, they're doing the DC. 3.
Well, yeah, but I'm hoping that...
See, this goes back to the whole thing with Microsoft, and I don't think that they're ever going to publish an MMO first party. Because there wasn't another little game called True Fantasy Live that was supposed to come out MMO for the 360 or for the Xbox.
Right. That was actually one of my most anticipated titles.
And what happened to Vanguard for the Xbox 360 that was announced that was supposed to come out?
Yeah.
First-party MMO?
Yeah.
They haven't happened.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to happen. So my guess is that Microsoft doesn't want to do an MMO first-party. They just want to announce it, get everybody excited, and then cancel it. Seems to be the repertoire.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
It is sad.
We're going to move on now, and we said we'd talk about this when it comes back up, and now it is here. The
now
Rock Band
here.
Downloadable content, pricing, release dates... Oh, yeah, I've got them.
Sweet.
Here's how it's going to work. Basically, they're going to be doing packs per week, starting the week of release. Packs of three will go for $5.49 or 440 Microsoft points, which is cheaper than Guitar Heroes 3 packs.
Right.
But you can also buy these songs individually, 200 points apiece, which is, if you buy all three songs, is more expensive than Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I think they did this just to outsell, or just to put their price under Guitar Hero.
Right.
So, they're 75 cents cheaper per three-pack, but if you buy them separately, they are more expensive. The first week, the week of November 20th, we will get quite a few. And you can buy any track separately. You don't have to buy the whole pack, which is nice.
That is nice.
Also, another really cool thing about these is when you download them, they go into your career.
Nice.
So, they will work in your World Tour mode. Which is awesome.
That is awesome.
They're not just separate. And there will be tracks released cheaper. Probably indie tracks or covers will probably be cheaper than the originals.
Hmm.
The first week, we're going to get the Metallica pack, which has three songs on it that are better than the song that's in the game. Imagine that. Ride the Lightning, Blackened, and Injustice for All.
Oh, man.
So
that sounds like a good pack right
there.
That's
a good pack. Also, the Police pack. Can't Stand Losing You, Synchronicity 2, and Roxanne. It's also coming that same week. And the Queens of the Stone Age pack with Threes and Sevens, Little Sister, and Sick, Sick, Sick.
Might be one you just have to buy the middle song out of. And
yeah, you know. Individual tracks this week will also be Fortunate Son, A Creedence Clearwater. Hmm. Jukebox Hero by Foreigner. Bang a Gong, Get On by T-Rex. My Sharona by The Knack. Cherry Bomb by The Runaways. And Joker and the Thief by Wolf Mother. So that's your first week of downloadable content. That's all released the same week as the game.
I don't need no instructions to know how to rock to some Foreigner.
That's right. Boston, the greatest band of all time. The second week, we'll get David Bowie pack with Moonage Daydream, Heroes, and Queen Bitch. December 4th, you get another Black Sabbath 3-pack with NIB, Sweet Leaf, and War Pigs. December 11th is the Punk Pack, Rockaway Beach by the Ramones, I Fought the Law by the Clash.
Which you'll probably hear 17 times.
Probably. Ever Fallen in Love by the Buzzcocks, which is a cover. So. And then the week of the 18th, you'll get My Iron Lung by Radiohead, Buddy Holly by Weezer, and Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders. That's all the downloadable content that will be out by the end of the year, which is a hell of a lot of downloadable
content. That is a lot of downloadable content.
Oh, so, yeah.
Stock up on those cards.
Yeah.
Some Xbox point cards.
You buy all those, it'll probably cost you about the same as buying the game. So... there you go.
There you go.
There's your prices. And personally, I think, like I said, I think they did it to undercut Guitar Hero 3. I like the fact that they allow you to buy them separately, individual songs. That's very cool. I think they're a little pricey for individual songs.
Right.
Like 200 points a piece, which is like...
I thought it was 160 points a piece. $1.99.
Is it 160 points a piece?
Yeah,
because
they're $1.99.
Yeah, 160 points a piece. I'm sorry. So they actually aren't more expensive. They're the same price.
Oh, there was a price drop just now.
There's a price drop right now. No, see what I did there?
No, it's because Microsoft has the confusing ass, let's not do a penny for each point. Let's do it all crazy ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm sitting there. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, 200 points a piece? That sounds so expensive as comparison. I'm like, I must have read that wrong. $2 is not 200 points.
It is not.
I'm thinking Wii points over here.
Right.
Yeah.
God, it's terrible.
Gosh. You got to run laps now.
I do. Hold on, I got to do push-ups. All right. Now, before we do the last little piece of news, we are going to run down the new releases, which shouldn't be too awfully bad this week. You hope, right?
You hope. Yeah.
If I can get this thing to work this week. It never works.
It never works.
This week, we have Avatar: The Burning Earth for the Xbox 360, which, I have to say, easiest 1,000 achievement points you will ever get.
I saw that.
You stand in one spot and press B 50 times, you get 1,000 points.
What?
That's it.
Yeah,
it has 5 achievements.
Really?
If you hit the B button, he shoots out like this little wave of energy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And all these guys will just keep running at you. You just keep shooting the wave of energy at them. And you get like 150 achievement points for getting a 10-hit combo, another 150 for a 20-hit combo, and so on and so forth till you get to 50-hit combo.
And it's 1,000 points just like that. Yeah. So if you're an achievement whore, go rent this game, play it, get the 1,000 points, take it back. $3 for 1,000 achievement points.
But you know what? If I see on any of my friends' lists somebody has 1,000 points in Avatar: The Burning Earth, I'm automatically discounting their entire gamer score.
Damn, I guess you're going to have to discount mine.
Yeah, mine too. I actually like the show.
Well, there you go.
You might
enjoy it.
I actually love the show.
I think I'm going to go rent it.
But thing is, I didn't...
1,000 points, man.
I didn't really like the first game, though.
Really?
Yeah, the first game kind of sucked. I was looking forward to it, too.
I don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. But if you want the achievement points, there you go. Baby... It's that awesome cover again.
That is the awesome cover.
It didn't come out last week, but it's out this week. It's awesome cover. Cabela's Monster Ass, I mean Bass, is coming out this week for the PS2. College Hoops comes out for 360, PS3, PS2. CSI, Dark Motives. Comes out this week for the DS. The History Channel, Battle for the Pacific.
Oh, great. Another History Channel game.
The last one was good. Civil War?
It was not good.
I liked it. It
was not good.
You're terrible.
Loading the muskets.
Mario Party comes out for the DS this week. Medal of Honor Airborne comes out for the PS3 this week.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I was almost expecting a Medal of Honor Airborne 2 by this point. Damn, that's that's late to the party.
It is late to the party.
Monster Jam comes out
for
the Wii. There's your game. The Zapper with Link's Crossbow Training comes out this week.
And wasn't it originally going to be $20?
I think it was.
It's $24.99 now.
Yeah.
Soldier Fortune hits PS3 this week. Only a week late. It's not too bad. Time Crisis 4 sneaks up on you. out of nowhere.
With the Gun Con. Actually, and the new Gun Con looks really, really cool.
It's $90.
Well.
And I heard it's actually a straight-up first-person shooter this time.
Really?
With a gun?
Yeah, because the gun actually has an analog stick on the gun.
Oh, they did that with one of the other games, and I hated it because it had the D-pad on it.
Well, yeah, they the House of the Dead gun had an analog stick on it, too.
Because I heard that you can, like, go anywhere in the new Time Crisis game.
Nice.
So it's not a rail shooter. It's like a first-person shooter.
Well, I'll let you know when I get my review copy next week how it is.
You have to tell us.
Fantastic.
Time Shift for the PlayStation 3 comes out this week. AMF Bowling Pinbusters comes out for the Wii. Final Fantasy XI, the Vanadil 08 collection with the new expansion Wings of the Goddess.
So Speedwagon will be happy.
Yes, yeah, he's all pumped. I'm like, are you getting Mass Effect? He's like, whose new expansion comes out this week for Final Fantasy? Bastard.
Fag.
I was trying to refrain from using that word. Final Fantasy XII, Revenant Wings comes out this week. Geometry Wars Galaxies, the overpriced Xbox Live arcade game, hits the Wii. Ghost Squad hits the Wii. Godzilla Unleashed hits the DS and the PS2. No Rock Band is due out this week for PS3 and 360. John Deere, Harvest in the Heartland, comes to the DS.
Woo!
Woo! Screw Mass Effect.
Little game called Mass Effect comes out this week. Phantasy Star Universe Ambition of Illuminus comes to the PS2 this week. Showtime Boxing comes out for the Wii.
Showtime Boxing.
Soul Calibur Legends, which unfortunately I heard is not so great.
Soul Calibur Legends for the Wii. Star Trek Conquest for the P2 and Wii. Yeah, I called it the P2.
The P2. Wow.
Strawberry Shortcake, Four Seasons Cake.
Wow.
Trauma Center, New Blood.
New Blood!
Great game.
Yeah, another... Yeah.
Here we go. No, wait. Yeah, this is, for some reason, Black Friday. Pets Dogs 2, Pets Hamsters Life 2. Because it's grammatically correct to say Pets Dogs. And that's it for the week.
We would be remiss, however, if we didn't mention Unreal Tournament for the PC.
Yeah, I was going to say Unreal Tournament comes out this week. For the PC.
Yeah, we don't usually talk about the PC on the podcast much, but that's it a pretty
UT.
Big one, so.
It is the UT. It's the UT.
The UT.
The UT, UT comes 3. Out this week. All right, last thing we're going to talk about is, I know we mentioned that MPD numbers would no longer be free, but hey, guess what? We have them. So we're going to talk about them. These are for October, the month after Halo.
October.
Month after Halo. So, this month, as predicted by yours truly last month, the Wii is back at the top.
Yeah.
519,000 units, which is just insane.
Excellent.
The DS moves back into the second place with 458,000, which is, once again, just insane.
Mm-hmm.
The 360 holds strong at third place at 366,000 units.
That's a pretty strong month.
That is pretty strong. That's down. That's down like 200,000 units from the month before. But the month before was
little game called Halo.
So
The PSP still going strong at 286,000 units this month.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2 still going strong after like almost 10 years at 184,000 units, and the PlayStation 3. Once again, a disappointing 121,000 units.
That's up from last month, though.
It is up
from last month. That's actually 2,000. I think that's like 2 or 3,000 units up from last month.
Yeah, it's up from last month, but it's still disappointing because we have all the price drops now.
Right.
They are in effect.
Well,
so.
But then again, the most of the price drops in America went into effect at the... actually, it was November 2nd is when the 40 gig came out and when the 80 gig dropped price.
So oh, okay. So this doesn't reflect that.
Yeah,
well,
right,
that's good because otherwise I was disappointed. I'm like, damn.
The November numbers should tell a lot different story.
Well, November numbers should be ridiculous anyway because it's going to be holiday shopping season. So
yeah,
that should really show who's going to be the monster over Christmas.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What I am consistently amazed with every month in the NPD numbers has absolutely nothing to do with either the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3. I'm consistently amazed by the fact that the PlayStation Portable is selling 286,000 units a month.
Yeah, it's insane.
That system, I know that they came out with the new Slim or whatever, but it really has gone through like a complete rebirth.
Yeah, because when it first came out, it wasn't selling shit.
Right.
People were calling it dead.
Right.
And now it's all of a sudden, the defibrillator came in and jacked that bastard up and bam.
And I'm glad to hear it too, because the more units there are out there, the more great games they'll keep making for it. So,
oh yeah,
I love my PlayStation.
I'm thinking that Castlevania, Dracula X Chronicles might have had a little bit to do with that.
It might have. Although it's not on the top 10 list, but
no, it's not.
It definitely might have had some impact on selling some more PSP.
But there's a very good reason why it's not on the top 10 list, and that's because Guitar Hero rules.
My God.
This is ridiculous. Obviously, number one, Halo 3 again.
Right.
But
no shock
it went
there.
From 3 million to 433,000.
Right. So the steam is sort of cooled on that. That's yeah. Let's not lie. That's the big reason that the 360 dropped 200,000 units from last month to this month.
Oh, obviously. But still, 433,000 units is still damn good. It's still number one.
That's impressive for the second week.
So, next up on the list, we're going to go by system. Guitar Hero 3 for the 360 at number 2 with 383,000 units. The Wii version comes in at number 3 with 286,000 units, which is a huge surprise.
Yeah.
The PS2 version falls below that at 271, which I figured would be second place, but there's a reason for that.
Right.
Because that's the bundle. We're talking bundle right now.
Right, that's what surprises me is the fact that the bundle is so much higher on the list than the standalone.
Yeah. Right behind that is the Zelda Phantom Hourglass at 262,000.
I still need to pick that up.
Wii Play still somehow manages to slither into this list at 239,000 units. That's going to be my pick for best-selling game of the year.
It wouldn't shock me.
The Orange Box shows up on here at 238,000 units, which is pretty cool. Guitar Hero 3 for the PS2 standalone did 231, so if you add them both together, you're looking at almost, you know, over 500,000
units. Right, which is right where we kind of expected it to be.
Yeah. FIFA Soccer 08 shows up for the PS2 at number 9. At 129,000 units, that blows my mind.
That blows my mind, too.
And then Brain Age 2 brings up the rear. Brain Age 2, more training in minutes a day at 116,900. A couple of notes on here. The PS3 version of Guitar Hero 3 only sold 105,000 units. Final Fantasy Tactics, Mr. Khan attributed for one of these in November, but 98,100 units. Ratchet and Clank Future, a disappointing 74,000.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, it was only out for 2 weeks in October, though. So I'm hoping, for Ratchet's sake, that once the November numbers come out, maybe you'll see something a little different than that. But still, 74, that puts it at about, if we carry that out over the month, that puts them at about 150,000 units, which is still, you know, slightly disappointing for how good the game is.
We will definitely have to look more into that next month, because I really don't want that game to fail, because it's a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Here's one that really disappointed me. Project Gotham Racing 4 sold 38,000
units.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Absolutely pathetic.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to look at year-to-date sales. Halo 3 is at 3.7 million units. Madden, 3.2 million units. This is across all platforms, by the way. Guitar Hero 2 is at 2.8 million. Third best-selling game of the year is Guitar Hero 2, which is ridiculous.
And it'll probably get knocked off the pedestal by its older brother by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. And then this one's going to continue to jump up the list as the time goes on. But the Wii Play with remote is at 2.5 million units sold. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Pokemon Diamond at 2.1 and Pearl at 1.5. So combined, those two are the number one.
Right? Yeah.
Well, they're under the number one.
Oh, okay.
Spider-Man 3 at 1.4 million. That just shows you the power of licensing.
Right.
And Guitar Hero 3 is already on this list at 1.4 million copies.
Hmm.
In its first week. It had 2 days.
That's really impressive. 3 days
to sell.
Yeah.
It came out on the 28th. 3 days worth of sales.
Yeah, what's amazing about that to me is if you combine Guitar Hero 2 and Guitar Hero 3, it equals the Madden sales for the year. That's amazing
for Guitar Hero.
That's amazing.
All platforms.
That's a lot of plastic guitars.
That is a lot of plastic guitars.
It just goes to show you the phenomenon and the fact that that Guitar Hero is going to steamroll over Rock Band in the sales.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that, because Rock Band is a very limited audience.
Right.
It's price point, it's the fact that it's a whole band, and the fact that it's only on 360 and PS3.
Right.
The PS2 version won't be out till next year.
Right.
And I would not be the least bit surprised to see a Wii version show up around the same time as the PS2 version.
Absolutely.
We're going to call that a rumor exclusive.
Right.
To the N4G podcast here.
A rumor that we started.
We started this one, that the Wii version will show up around the same time as the PS2 version.
More of a prediction rather than a rumor.
be like Nostradamus up in here.
Up in here. Well, I think that wraps up everything I have. Do you guys have anything else
for this
week?
We're not going to do some questions from the forums?
I don't think we got any. Really? I can double check it, but I don't think we got any. Yeah, that's terrible, though, if we didn't get any.
So yeah, I'm very no questions.
Because I asked, and I asked, and I asked. Now, why is Jade Raymond's face always on the front page?
I guess she's Jade Raymond.
I guess so. Let's roll down. Let's see here. There's the last one we did. Here we go. We got a couple. With the announcement of original Xbox games on the marketplace, no information at that time. I posted in the info. Achievements, which we already answered.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here we go. If they release these classic games without one or both features, will that hinder your purchase? And we already talked about that, didn't
we? We kind of did.
We didn't talk about the online play. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we mentioned it, too. And there you see Boogeyman's quote. Somebody quoted the Boogeyman. He's not even a regular. Shut up. We talked about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, we talked about Jade Raymond.
Oh, are you Justin thinks Wamba Trip works for GameStop.
No, that's Brian the Boogeyman Peterson that works at GameStop, actually. Tell us about that. Funny stories position. Actually, though, myself and Zero both at one point worked for EB Games, which has become GameStop. And it's funny because working at a video game store, I got confused because I worked for a friend of mine who owned a video game store for a while too. But working at a video game store is basically exactly like logging on to N4G every day because you run into the same people every day. You got the really awesome people that you meet that are really into video games and you can talk to them for a while, and then you've got your rabid fanboys that you want out of the store as soon as they come in. You've got like the casual gamers who just come in to buy Madden and stuff like that.
You got the girlfriends that come in to buy birthday presents for their boyfriends.
Right.
You got the moms that come in and have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Right.
And you got the little kids that come in with their grandmothers and buy Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, and you got the guys in the really thick glasses that come in and just kind of stand around all day.
And tell everybody.
And tell everybody that the games they're buying suck.
Tell them how many copies it sold last month.
Right.
You know, somebody needs to make a movie
about video
this.
Video game stores?
Yeah, it'd be like Clerks, but it'd be all about video games.
They should just call
culture.
It Nerds.
They should.
Nerds, yeah.
There you go.
Or Geeks.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up all that. How important will Xbox Originals be, and can you see yourself making it to purchase regularly? We kind of talked about
we kind of talked about
are
that.
Are you going to buy any?
Any of the Originals?
Mm-hmm.
If I do, it might be like one or two very selective titles.
Yeah, I'm about the same on that. It'd be like Virtual Console.
Depends on if a game shows up on there that I really, really want that's not backwards compatible. Because if I really, really want it, I'm just going to buy it on the regular Xbox and play it.
And the other part of Zero Function's question goes straight to Wombat, but who will you be buying Two Worlds for this Christmas?
Yeah, that's... Big shout out to Zero Function for loving the Two Worlds joke. I threw everything about Two Worlds in there for you today, for you and RU Joshin as well. But I will be buying Two Worlds for everybody for Christmas, for every single person. Not only every single person in my family, but every single person in the world. So be watching your mailbox in January 2012, and
2012.
You may see Two Worlds pop up in there.
And the last question is once again all about Jade Raymond and the Assassin's Creed thing, which we've kind of beat into the ground.
We kind of beat it into the ground. But, you know, once again, the comic's disgusting. It needs to go away.
You know, I didn't even view the comic.
I've seen the comic, and it's just terrible.
I viewed the comments, and I viewed the what they were saying about the comic, and I'm like, I don't want to contribute to that. I don't want to look at that.
There are other ways. Like, I understand the statement that they're trying to make with the comic. And that in that Ubisoft kind of pimped her out to sell the game.
And that's
or whatever,
fine if you're going to make a comic about that, but don't put that in
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
Need that.
It's completely graphic. And I can understand some people saying, well, you know, it's Ubisoft's fault. They're the ones who pimped her out for the game or whatever. But you know what? There's no excuse for
there's
that
no,
comic.
For that kind
Absolutely
of vulgarity, no,
no,
there's just not. It's disgusting. It makes me, and somebody posted this on the forums, it makes me sad to be a gamer.
It does.
Because a gamer drew it.
It really embarrasses me.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And
yeah, that's terrible.
I mean, you don't ever see that. This is the first time I've ever seen this, and it's the first time I've ever been just sick to my stomach about being a gamer. It really is. I don't have anything else to say about it. I'm just done
with
it. By
God.
You just need to go away. I don't like you.
There you go.
Whoever you are.
Whoever you are, comic drawer.
You're terrible. I hope somebody comes and cuts all your hair off in the middle of the night.
But, you are certainly entitled to draw whatever comics you want. Because that's the beautiful thing about this country. But the other thing is, I am completely entitled to tell you that your comic is fucking ridiculous. And that you need to quit drawing comics.
And perhaps get a life.
And perhaps get a life.
Nah.
Or a girlfriend of some kind.
Yeah.
Well, with that comic, I don't think that's happening anytime soon. Call me crazy. But I think that pretty much wraps up. You guys definitely need to get on there and get us some more questions.
Seriously.
Because we didn't
blow
have
us
very
up
many.
With the questions.
Definitely, because we love answering them. I think that pretty much wraps up. Next week, there'll be a very special, special episode that only I know about. So we'll talk
you
about
bastard.
That then.
It'd be like the Thanksgiving episode.
It will be a holiday spectacular.
Well, seriously, to go onto the forums and do the forum about the badges. If
badge
gamers,
of geekness.
If being a gamer was like being in the Boy Scouts, what badges would you have on your sash? That's the forum post that I want to see.
It should be there.
It should be there. Obviously, yeah. It's not going to be there when I get home because they're not going to hear this till tomorrow.
Probably not. No, when you get home, it's probably not going to be there.
No, it's not.
No, because they won't see it till tomorrow.
No,
but
they won't see it till tomorrow.
We're going to rock out. So, also this Tuesday, Rock Band. We'll give you more impressions of that.
Yes.
Mass Effect will be impressions
yes.
next week.
Oh,
most
man.
Definitely.
We'll be talking about Soldier of Fortune. Well, I'll be talking about Soldier of Fortune next week.
My jealousy would be running red with vengeance.
And perhaps some other interesting things we'll be talking about next week that nobody knows about yet. So,
fucking bastard.
We're going to get out of here for now. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
The sun will rise, burning faces staring back at it, you'll see the light, as it shines oh so bright, you can't deny, what we had was something special, and I wait on the day when you are finally out of my mind, the day.
We are just too deep.
Loud enough. I don't know who the fuck you fooling.
Yeah, man. You're loud, dude. Yeah. What's up? Oh, yeah.
Hey, Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid is good.
Okay.